Hebrews chapter 11, the 11th chapter beginning in verse 32. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32. We're going to read a section there going through chapter 12 and verse 3. So good to be with you again this evening. We have a good number here tonight. I'm so glad that you decided to come our way if you're visiting with us. We're going to be looking at some stories tonight that I think will hopefully encourage us. Very often we talk about the issue of peer pressure and we see it as a negative thing. And tonight I want to turn that around a little bit and see if we can see peer pressure in a positive light, in a sense which we can drive each other to be better and to do better. And I'll look at some Bible stories and some characters that'll help us do that and see if we can start using those things in our own lives as well. Hebrews chapter 11 is a great place to turn to look at some of these stories, or at least to touch on them very briefly, as the writer does here. Beginning in verse 32, Hebrews 11 and verse 32, it says, "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." We are very familiar with the idea of negative peer pressure, and we understand how much of an influence our peers have on us. And there's all kinds of statistics you could look up. I was able to pull up some and just show the power and the influence that our peers have on us. Here's just a few numbers to throw out at you about this. Have you pressured a friend into doing something you could tell they were not comfortable with? 42% of those surveyed said yes. Were you ever pressured into doing something you knew was bad for your health? 37% said yes. Over one-third of people in this survey did something they knew was not healthy because of the pressure of their peers. 36% did something they knew to be illegal. Have you lied about liking something just because you thought your friends would make fun of you if they knew? 47%, almost half. 35% said they lied to their parents because their friends told them to do so. And the statistics, they just go on and on about how influential our peers are on us. And what I want to begin by saying this evening, although we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about the negative aspect of peer pressure, is that it is very obvious the power that our peers have in our lives, that we want to be accepted, and we want to feel like we're part of the group. And as we look at these kinds of statistics, and we see that almost half of people are very heavily influenced by the people around them, what that tells us is we have to be very careful about the people we allow to be around us. And if we find ourselves, much like the people in the survey, being drawn into things we really don't want to do, or things we know are illegal, or doing things we know are wrong, like lying to our parents, the answer is rather simple to solve this problem. And that is just what is told to us in Proverbs chapter 1 and Proverbs chapter 4, that is, we need to get new friends. We need to be around different people. And I understand that there are times, places we work or schools we go to or that sort of thing, where we don't have much of a decision about who we're around. But a lot of what we do in life is by our choice. And the people we spend the most time with are going to be people we choose to spend time with. And so before we go any further, I just want to begin at the outset and say, if you are struggling in this area, you need to choose different friends. You need to find people who are going to pressure you into the right things, to do the right kinds of things, to be righteous, to be holy. And that is what I want to talk about for our time this evening. And I want to begin looking at the stories we just talked about here in Hebrews chapter 11. And this idea that is presented at the beginning of chapter 12, that we have this cloud of witnesses. And the idea there that the writer is giving us is that we should be pressured in a good way. We should be encouraged because we have all these people who have gone before us, who are cheering for us, they're looking at us, they're wanting us to succeed. And by their lives and looking at their lives, we are encouraged even more as we look to people who gave their life up, who died by the edge of the sword, who suffered flogging and mockings, who were put in chains and imprisonment. And as we look at all these people and we think of the little struggles that we go through, shouldn't that cause us to be uplifted and realize that we can do it too? There are people mentioned here, I believe, very subtly in the text, men like Daniel in verse 33 and his friends in the next verse in verse 34. It says in verse 33, talking about these individuals, he said, I can't talk about all of them. We can't talk about all of them tonight. Time would fail us as well. But he says in verse 33, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Daniel could fit a few of those things mentioned there. And then the next verse, right after stopping the mouth of lions, we have quenched the power of fire. Seems pretty evident to most that what the writer is referring there to are Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you may remember how the story begins. They're in the presence of the king and they're eating his food, and Daniel stands up and he is not going to give himself over to these pagan ways. He's going to stay with his faith, and it seems influences these three friends with him. And we have no idea, likely, how much they bolstered each other, how much they built each other up as they were trying to be faithful and trying to do what's right. And we have these stories of Daniel and these stories of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I think partly to see the strength that came through their mutual faith. But as we look back, maybe in a very abstract sort of way, as we're talking about peer pressure, I just want you to think just for a minute about what they went through. Daniel standing in front of these subjects of the king. People had the power to take his life and said, no, I'm not going to do that. And when we stand before our employer or before a teacher, before someone else who has some position of authority who wants us to do something we know we shouldn't do, consider Daniel just for a minute and his willingness to stand up for what was right. Or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who went before King Nebuchadnezzar and said, I'm not going to bow down to that idol. I don't care how many times you play the flute and play the instruments and how many chances you give me to do it, I'm not going to do it. Next time we are caving just a bit and our friends are pressuring us to do something we know we shouldn't do, go back to these friends in the Old Testament and realize what they went through and what they were willing to give up. They were willing to give their body to be burned. They knew exactly what the consequence was. And they stood in the presence of Nebuchadnezzar and said, even if our God doesn't deliver us, we will not bow down. That's positive peer pressure. As we look at these stories and we see what they went through and what they were willing to stand for and the faith that they had, that's why it's so important that we are attached to God's Word, that we are constantly reading through these stories. As the writer here in Hebrews said, not everybody was delivered. We have the story of Daniel, and we have the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these people who were delivered from some of the threats that they faced, from being eaten by lions or being consumed by fire, and we know the power of God saved them. That was not always the case, though. There were people who did give their lives, who did stand up and say, no, I'm not going to say Caesar is Lord, and who did have to go and be eaten by lions in the arena. And as we look at those stories and we consider those individuals, some of which are mentioned in this chapter in Hebrews 11, it ought to encourage us to greater faith. We have people like Isaiah and Jeremiah who seem to be mentioned in this text as well. In verse 37, there's a reference here to those who were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. Tradition tells us that Jeremiah was stoned. We can go to an example in 2 Chronicles 24, which records Zechariah being stoned by King Joash. So this was not something that was unique. It would have been something rather normal, actually, for some of these prophets. Multiple prophets were stoned. And we're told that Jeremiah was stoned. We also, through tradition, we're told that Isaiah was sawn in two by a wooden saw, the martyrdom of Isaiah. Not an inspired work, but it could be accurate, and it might be what it's being referred to here in this statement. We look at people who even gave their lives for the will of God. And next time we are tempted with our desires or to do something that we know we shouldn't do, just consider the pressure that is on us. As we think about men, prophets like Jeremiah and Zechariah and Isaiah who gave their lives so that we could have the will of God before us. Very powerful. If we just stop for a moment, maybe to offer a prayer to God and to meditate as we're told to do. If we have some of these types of stories embedded and ingrained in our minds, we think about the struggles that some of these individuals